Welcome to the show. If you're new here, we are Pivotal Moments HQ. On this episode, you will learn about power dynamics and how fighting for power impacts your relationships. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Pivotal Moments HQ. On this podcast, we share guidance and tips on how you can live an empowered life.
Every choice you make is a pivotal moment and serves as a catalyst to living with intention, purpose, and meaning.
It's never too late to start living your life, and you are right on time. I'm Siria Gutierrez, a mindset coach, attorney, and mental health advocate.
I'm Melissa Robena, a world leader in appreciative inquiry and strength-based leadership. This is Pivotal Moments HQ. Welcome to another episode of Pivotal Moments.
Yes.
So throughout the course of this podcast, you know, we've engaged in conversations around a number of topics such as boundaries, family roles, intimacy, self-compassion. And, you know, the more that I was thinking about it, you know, at the heart of most of our episodes really relates to relationships in some way. And so, you know, as I'm kind of observed that, I was looking at some of the news that appear into, you know, my social media, my inbox, and it all consists of stories about someone or something exerting some sort of power over another, whether it's a country exerting power over its citizens, political parties, you know, creating legislation based on religious principles. And I started to wonder, is it human nature to want to wield power over one another? And if so, how does it impact relationships? So, you know, as I dug deep into this topic, the term power dynamic service, and I thought it would be a great chance for us to discuss it here on the pod.
And so that's what we're going to do. That's what we're doing. We are discussing power dynamics today. And
when I mentioned it to you, what were your initial thoughts on it?
Sure.
So amiable.
I'm a curious person, and sure, let's dive into that one. I didn't have a dog in the fight, but as I started doing my own independent research on it, I was going down a couple different rabbit holes where I didn't necessarily stick in power, because let me tell you, the internet, like, you, when you Google some things, you will get some really interesting results. And I ended up on this dude's website that was all about, like, power and exerting power over people and relationships. And then I started going down, like, you know, the romantic relationship, and he's like breaking down how power happens in a relationship. And I'm reading it and I'm like, where are you getting this information? Like, it was,
this guy's probably single as shit.
I'm not naming him or his website for, you know, because I'm not stupid. But I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I'm not so sure about this topic. So that's kind of where I'm at.
So, you know, when we're talking about power dynamics, or at least what I've seen online, it's all about referring to power in a way that it's shared. You know, we've talked about social construction before. So I think before we even delve into power dynamics, I think it's important to take a moment to maybe even just unpack or discuss what we think power means. And I know that what initially came to mind, even as some of the examples that I shared earlier, when I think of power, I think of, like, physical oppression sometimes. I don't necessarily think about other ways we might exert power. And so as I was looking more into this topic, power dynamics, the word power doesn't necessarily mean physical power. Rather, it refers to how much influence one person has over the other. So I think a few examples would include a person may make more money than the other and thus has more power when it comes to making financial decisions. Another example can be, if I possess greater leadership capacity, I might have more power in setting the direction of a project that we might be working on together at work. Another person may be more extroverted than the other and can result in an imbalance in social environments. So those are just a few examples of the different power dynamics that could be at play.
And so it's an interesting definition to me, because when I was looking at it, I think power and influence are two different things. And your definition puts them together, which I think they can go together, but I really do feel like power and influence are similar beasts, but they have different connotations to them.
I agreed to that to a certain extent. It was interesting because even before this topic surfaced for me, I remember there was like a book or something that I came across that it was like dark psychology and like using body language and stuff to influence and to get your way. And it was like a lot of books that you see in business or like the art of the deal or the art of negotiation, it's almost like you got to take the other person down in order to get on top. And so like when I think of power, I think of that. And but I do agree that influence can be good. I think that there's also just a very negative connotation to the word power, especially that I think that that gets reinforced by what we see in the media today. So, but yeah, I do agree with you. I think power does influence, but I don't know. Does it go both ways?
I don't think so, because power is, you have a title. So like, let's take the financial one that you gave as an example, right? You have more buying power. You can buy more things. But that doesn't necessarily mean that because you bring more money to the table, that the other person in your relationship can't influence how you use that power.
Well, I think that that would be if you have a healthy balance of power in your relationship. If it's, teetering one way where the person's like, you know what, I make the most money, I'm going to make the decisions. The person's like, oh, well, I guess you're right. Like, I don't have that much influence or sway to even...
Right. So influence, though, has more to do about being able to change people's beliefs, getting them to change because they want to, as opposed to power being, I'm the person in charge, so you're going to do it. And so I think that's where, everyone has influence, but not everyone has power. And when I was looking in this, they were talking about two different types of status that you have with power. So low status, you're super approachable, you're less authoritative, you might get sucked into like a victim triangle where because you have no influence, you get dumped on. And you think of in corporate world, right? When you're at the bottom of the ladder, you're going to get all of the crappy assignments and other things. As your status increases, essentially your power increases, that could change. And so then the other status was a high status. This one was really interesting because it was slower movements, slower speech, and they kind of give off this air of don't come near me communication. And I was like, okay, well, that's really interesting, because it's all about the power, authority, and respect. And so that made me think of a certain president that we may have had not too long ago and just kind of how they behave. And I was like, oh, this is very much, you've may have interacted with these people where they don't want to talk to you because you're not the most important person in the room, or they feel like you have nothing to offer them. And so that's why I'm like, yeah, power is like icky to me. And so when I was looking at those statuses, I was like, yeah, I don't like either one of those.
No, I don't either. But when I was looking at it, and again, I did go down a rabbit hole between, power dynamics and personal relationships versus power dynamics in work relationships. And I think work relationships, I feel, are a little bit more cutthroat. You are going to do what's most advantageous to you typically because you want to get ahead in career as opposed to working with others. I think when it comes to a little bit more intimate relationships, we hope to be more mindful or at least consider our partner when we're making decisions or looking at how our dynamics are with one another. What was very interesting, though, is you do learn that power dynamics are present in all relationships.
Yes.
Absolutely all relationships. And it doesn't matter how hard you try, there will always be a power imbalance in any relationship. And every aspect of your relationship influences the balance of power. Meaning like, I mentioned financial earlier, but then they even gave examples of like, if you always determine, like, let's say, whose house do you normally go to for Thanksgiving or whose family do you celebrate the holidays with? That's because that person might, have that control or that power within the relationship. It was very interesting because it broke down the relationship into various components. And every decision that a couple makes, it's usually because one person has made the decision on behalf of either the couple. And I was like, it's very true. I did come across a very interesting principle. I'd never heard about it before, but it made me giggle, and I'll explain why. So it's the principle of least interest, and it was coined in 1938 by sociologist Willard Waller. And according to this principle, people are not equally committed or invested in a relationship. There is always one person who has less control or influence over what is happening in the relationship. And the person that who is more dependent on the other for their happiness, their financial wellness, etc., are more willing to sacrifice their wants and needs, thus giving up their power or influence in the relationship, while the person who possesses more power are less motivated to sacrifice or support the other. And basically what he goes on to say is that we've probably all been at either or both ends of this at some point in our lives. And I was like, yes. And why I laughed when I first came across this first principle of least interest, the name itself just made me chuckle. But, you know, Vince will always tell me, like, I love you more. And I was like, oh, stop. No, you don't. But he does. He does, you know. And
you heard it here. It has been documented.
It is straight out of the boy's mouth. Like, it's straight from him. And I think that there is always one person that will give more and another person that will take more in various regards. So it was just, I was like, huh, I have been in relationships where I have been the one that has exhibited, you know, all the power.
And those were all in past lives, Vince. That was not anything in this current lifetime.
No life before you. No, it was garbage.
It was all of it, just so we're clear.
I mean, how about you? Have you experienced life on both ends of the spectrum?
I mean, I've been in a long-term relationship for, you know, over 12 years. So yes, in this relationship, it goes back and forth. It goes, you know, it ebbs and flows. And it was interesting. I was watching this psychologist, and she was talking about when couples break up. And, you know, this was a TikTok video, so you guys can make fun of the TikTok. It's okay. And she was talking about people break up at 3, 5, 7, or at like 11 in 15 years, and this is what she was seeing in her practice.
Odd numbers.
Yeah, all of like these like odd numbers. And what she was saying, though, was that at the beginning of it, it's because people haven't learned how to communicate with each other and how to deal with conflict. And on the other end, it's because they stopped being friends. And so they need to learn how to, you know, be friends with each other. And I was thinking about that. I was like, oh, that's a really interesting point, because there's going to be an evolution, right? And so if you get to a point in your relationship where it is all just schedule conflicts or making sure that you're just, you know, hey, we're doing this, I'm doing that, okay, and that may get complicated with like children, would certainly do that, where you no longer spend time with each other. And so all of it, just kind of to circle back to the power part of it, your relationships just are going to change over time. They're not going to be the same. And so I do think that that pendulum of power is going to swing depending on the health of your relationship, where you are in your relationship, what other complications have you thrown in there? We're willing to go to plants and that's about it. Like, we're not going to throw in pets or children. So it's like, okay, there's certain things that are not going to necessarily impact the relationship, but they, at the same time, they do, because again, it goes into like this whole power situation. So yeah, I mean, how could you not experience a power imbalance in any relationship?
I do like this metaphor of like a pendulum, because it really does ebb and flow. It does bounce back and go forward, and you can't be all the things all the time. I've tried. It's not successful. So at some point you do have another person, you know, as a friend or as a partner that can step up and exert that power, maybe when you can't or you don't possess that ability. And so I just found the topic to be so interesting. Do you think that, I mean, is it a human's desire or need to want to wield control or power?
I don't necessarily think it's something that humans want necessarily. I do think that in our American culture, it is something that we are told we should want. So, you know, going back to your social constructionism is, I don't know, like, I feel like it's a message that it received that if you have power, you want to keep it at all costs. That makes people start doing really stupid shit, you know, embezzlement, fraud, other things to try to keep up with status, for example. And then I think there's other people who want the power because they want to influence a powerful change. And so really, for me, it's what's the motivation with wanting the power? Is it because you want to make yourself the center of attention? You want to be the one that saves the day? I remember I was on a board of an organization, and they had wanted to start a scholarship program. It was like, okay, great. This was something that we talked about for a while. And the person who was my number two in the organization was very much like, I want to do this during my time. Like, I'm going to draw the line. And I was like, dude, I don't care. Like, I really don't care. Like, as long as there's some traction on it and we can work towards that, that was fine. Did not happen during his lifetime at all. So it didn't happen during mine, didn't happen during his. And it took many, many years. And now there is an amazing Andale scholarship that they do, right?
That's so really
this
cool.
Is obviously the Latino Bar Association. But part of what came out of that was it was really having that space for the organization to get there when it was ready. And having leaders that could actually put in that vision. And so they talk about this, these level five leaders. I don't know if you've heard of that. There's different kinds of leaders that you have. And there's these types of leaders who can set a vision for an organization. Like, they're visionaries, basically. And it goes beyond themselves way further in time. Like, that project of that scholarship fundraiser, it's amazing. It's an amazing opportunity. It's going to keep going. But it was something that the leader at the time who created it, she knew that that was something that could continue forward. And so she might have had the power and the influence at the same time to do it, but it wasn't for her, if that makes sense.
No, it kind of reminds me of what you were speaking to when we did the legacy building episode, when we're talking about we might not experience it in our lifetime, but getting the ball moving or moving in that direction helps build that momentum to, you know, actualize whatever it is that you were trying to set out to do in the first place.
Yeah. And I've also seen examples where people have never really wanted power, or they've never really wanted to do anything. And then they get dealt a hand with a child with a disability, then, or they have somebody in their family have a tragic accident. Then they go all in on figuring out how to remove obstacles, make things better, make the schools better, get more education. And because they have that personal invested interest in helping their loved one, or that's what sparked their interest in it, all of a sudden they become a very knowledgeable, powerful person in that industry, even though they had no desire to do it before. And so I think that sometimes you got to look at what are the circumstances that are being presented in our lives, and what is calling us to do these things. Like, yeah, your child may not be in school anymore, but your ability to advocate for children because of what you learned for your own child is going to help so many other parents down the road. And I constantly see examples of that where people are like, well, you know, I really had no interest in this, and then so-and-so happened, or I saw this thing that impacted me on a personal level, and they get involved and they can make some really powerful change in the world.
And I like how you're using powerful and the word power in this context, because again, when I first was looking at power dynamics, it's like, I must succeed at all costs and you must lose. But that's not to say that, you know, power has to be conceived in that way. It can, you know, end in a win-win relationship. And yes, it may not always be balanced in relationships, but I also think that you can share the power equal or as best you can with your partner, with a friend, with a colleague. So yeah, I just, you know, the whole dynamics thing was very interesting, and understanding that everything impacts the dynamics between the relationship. There were a few things that I came up with in terms of helping to balance the power in relationships. And these are from my own personal experience. And before I get into this, I want to dovetail off of what you were talking about in terms of, like, you know, life experiences could you know, project someone to maybe go into a new path that they may not have thought they maybe could or possess the strength to do so. And I think that, you know, I know in several episodes I've talked about this need for control in my life, and that was absolutely a result of childhood trauma. And so I think too, if you are good friends with this person, or if you are in an intimate relationship with this person, I think also having the understanding of like, where is this need for control coming from, or this need for power, or this need to, you know, take control of the situation. But, you know, I think for me, it was when Vince understood why I needed to like exert quote unquote power, he was like, you can have it. Like it didn't matter to him. Right. But I digress.
No, but that's a really interesting come from, because it's acknowledging, hey, I don't need to be right. I need to be understood. You need to understand that this is part of why my process works this way. And it isn't necessarily I need to have control to have power. I need to have control to be safe. That's yes. different than saying I need to be in control all the time because I need to be the most powerful person in the room because I got the biggest ding dong in the room. No, that's different than, hey, I need to know certain things. I need to go through my rituals or other things in order to feel safe. Like that to me is a different conversation. And good job, Vince. Good job, Vince, for noting that and just being like, yeah, sure, you can have it.
It does. And it's funny because I hadn't even thought about it in that way in terms of feeling safe, but 100%. But I do feel safe with you, Vince. So I think that's why I'm able to let the pendulum swing your way on occasion. Anyways, I think we've kind of touched on the fact that power, however we define it, isn't necessarily positive or negative. I think it's depending on how you are using it and your intent behind it. And so what I've done to kind of help bring balance or restore balance in the relationships that I have is to vocalize my needs and wants. I think many of us at some point in our lives have sacrificed our happiness for the expense of others. I know we've had plenty of episodes where we've talked about people pleasing, and we knew our needs weren't being met, but we never vocalized them. So what I invite you to do is to take a moment to write them out if you need, because oftentimes we don't even know what they are. And then sit down with the person, whomever that is, whether it's a colleague, a friend, or a partner, and vocalize what they are and have a true, honest conversation about what they are. And ask that person if they can meet your needs. And if they can't, as sad as it is, you know, at least you'll know where they stand and you can have the opportunity to make an informed decision as to what you want to do. Okay, so the second one I have, shouldn't shock anybody, lean into your strengths. So together, brainstorm all the strengths that you each possess, both individually and collectively, and then next sit down and discuss how you each might use your strengths to invite a balance of power into the relationship. So Vince is excellent when it comes to finding unique places to stay, eat, or travel to. So I will often let him take the driver's seat when it comes to vacation planning. Like, no desire. I might say like, ooh, Seattle sounds like fun. But then he's like, he goes off with it. Me, I like budgets and accounting, so I have full control over managing our expenses. So I think that if you sit down and have a conversation about what your strengths are, because I know Vince would not want to touch, you know, the budgets at all and stuff, the financial anything, mm-hmm. but that's something that I excel at. So yeah, I think if you can sit down and actually divide the power, and maybe it's like the word power is what's holding us up here.
No, I think what you're talking about there has more to do, at least as I'm hearing it, has more to do with you playing to each other's strengths. You like planning the vacations? Great. I'll do the budget in the household. The caution I would have to everybody is to not learn how to do the thing that your spouse can do or a partner can do really well. This happened to a lot of women in Southeast Asia where they're living longer than men, but they never learned financial literacy. And so they never learned how to, you know, what bank accounts they had and how to do any of the things. Like, you have to at least know how to do it and be like, okay, well, I know how to budget. I don't like doing it. So don't completely become ignorant on purpose.
Okay, that's not what I'm insinuating at all.
No, it's not, but which is why I bring it up, to just make sure that you know how to do it. Like, Matt knows how to plan a vacation. He's just not as good at it because I'm the cruise director of the relationship.
Well, and I think that, you know, when I'm thinking about power dynamics in the relationship, it's like, okay, who's steering the boat? Like, is it always one person or do you each take turns at the helm? And I think that that's kind of when I'm looking at power dynamics in the relationship, that's kind of what I'm thinking, that you each take turns, like, you know, I don't, do you drive a ship? You don't, no, you sail?
You steer.
Steer.
You
okay.
Steer a ship. But I think it is important to know how to do some stuff, because Matt and I had a financial conversation and I was just like, let me just give it to you and you deal with it. And he said no. And part of why he said no was, he's like, you need to learn how to do this for yourself because it's a really important skill. And I was like, oh, okay, fine. And this had to do with like investing. And so it was something that, you know, I didn't really have a lot of confidence in. And so it was something that I wanted him to just, here, I'll give you the money and you be my financial planner. It was basically, and he was like, no, like learn. He's like, it's not that hard. Like, let's just start with really basic things. And I think that him being willing to teach me and me being open to it has really made a world of difference in terms of us being able to talk about money in very open ways. But yeah, it was, you need to learn how to do this. It's like, okay.
No, that kind of dovetails into the last thing, which is like, you keep the other person in mind. Obviously, you know, they're like, let's say if I wanted to invite Vincent to look at an expense of something I want to do around the house and how we might go about affording it and everything like that. So I might invite him into the conversation, right? So I think when we talk about keeping the other person in mind, while we're vocalizing our needs, it's also important to keep the other person in mind. I can't tell you how many decisions I would make, because again, I thought I had the power. I would make decisions without even conferring or like connecting with Vince beforehand. And so I think a perfect example is when I purchased the house. So when I purchased the house, I had more say over the decor or any updates that I would make. But then he later told me, he's like, I just don't feel like this is my home. And that really resonated with me. So now what I do is I invite him to, you know, help pick wall colors or the furniture. And it helps him feel like an equal partner in the relationship and has him feel as if like this is my home too. So, you know, I do kind of like going into what you're talking about, instead of being like, here, be my financial planner. Let's work on this together. Let's do this as a team by keeping the other person in mind.
Yes. Keeping the other person in mind, I think for any of these relationships, whether it's personal or a work relationship, it's going to be just really important for you to not be a dick, like to try not to do that. And keeping the other person in mind, if there's certain things where I will be surprised, I'll be like, hey, I was thinking about doing this and I think I'm going to get some pushback. It's usually involving shopping and buying something that I may or may not need. And I'm surprised at how many times he actually says yes. He's probably giving me more like, yeah, that sounds like fun answers than I give him credit for, because he is a lot stricter. But we also have other things that we've just fallen into naturally in our relationship. There's certain things that I really don't like doing, like taking out the trash. I can do it. I just, no, I'm good.
I think at the end of the day, what I want our listeners to walk away with and what I've taken away from this episode, I do, the image of this pendulum really resonates with me. I think we need to move away from this all or nothing. I must hold all the marbles. I must have control. Yes, I understand this need to feel safe. I get that, speaking from personal experience, but you have to be able to also let go. It probably is one of the greatest demonstrations of strength. But, you know, giving, I shouldn't say giving, but like this swaying of this pendulum is just a part of being in a relationship and part of, dare I say, growth.
It is part of that. And I'd say the other thing to add is you have to know yourself, which is goes back to, you know, at least my number one rule, know thyself. And because you have different strengths. And when I was thinking about this topic, the analogy of, you know, are you a sprinter or are you a jogger? Like, those bodies look totally different. And what you put into them are totally different, because a sprinter needs small bursts of tons of power, right? So they're going to be working on their legs. They're going to have massive legs. And then long distance runners are going to be very, very,
they're like thin.
Wafer like little pencil people, because they're working on their oxygen and their lung capacity and their stamina. And so you have to see, you know, you may want to be a long distance runner. your body may not let you, and your strengths may not get you there. There's some most things you can learn, and you can train yourself into these things, including learning how to wield power responsibly, how to be influential. You can learn how to do all those things, but just remember, what are your specific strengths? Are you more of a sprinter or a jogger? I guess what I'm trying to say is don't necessarily fight against your nature. You want to work with yourself as much as you can towards whatever goals you may have.
That's it for this episode. Find us on Instagram at Pivotal Moments HQ for all the behind the scenes and sister-like banter you know and love. We want to thank our producer and music director, Ron Johnson. This has been an Estronemicus DMR and Pug Productions podcast.